The Athletic.
G'day and welcome along to the Race F1 Briefing for Friday, the 8th of March, 2024, brought to you by Grid Rival. I'm James Baldwin and you're listening to the podcast that brings you up to speed on the day's big F1 headlines in 15 minutes or less. Coming up on today's episode, we'll be recapping everything that happened in qualifying for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, including who won the battle for pole. But first, we'll get to the big news of the day, which came through shortly before final practice. Yes, before we had any track running on Friday, Ferrari announced that Carlos Sainz would be taking no further part in the race weekend. The unlucky Spaniard, who missed media duties on Wednesday and looked peaky as he took part in practice on Thursday, was diagnosed with appendicitis on Friday morning and subsequently underwent successful surgery. That left the Scuderia with a seat to fill for the remainder of the event in Jeddah, and in one of those pinch-yourself moments, it went, at very short notice, to none other than 18-year-old British rookie Ollie Bearman. As the team's nominated reserve for this race, Bearman would have known there was always a slim chance he'd be required, but being thrown in at the deep end by Ferrari for his F1 debut, with just one practice session to get up to speed before qualifying, was probably beyond even his wildest dreams. Bearman's been a Ferrari junior since the end of 2021, when he won both the Italian and German varieties of Formula 4. He almost won the Formula 3 title in 2022 and was sixth in his rookie F2 season last year, with three feature race wins. He made his F1 weekend debut with Haas last year, with practice outings in Mexico and Abu Dhabi, and was already set for six further outings with Haas this year and an intensive F1 testing program with Ferrari. And before Ferrari came knocking on Friday morning, he looked primed to add to his F2 victory tally, having claimed an impressive pole position for Friday's feature race in Jeddah. On Sunday, he'll become the third youngest driver to start a Grand Prix, after Max Verstappen and Lance Stroll, the first driver to start his debut F1 race with Ferrari since 1972, and the first English driver since Nigel Mansell. But that's enough stats for now. You'll probably want to know how he got on in qualifying, and we'll tell you that next. So, all eyes were on Ollie Bearman as qualifying got underway, but unsurprisingly, though the British rookie handled himself very well, progressing smoothly through Q1 before qualifying a superb 11th, he wasn't in the battle for pole. And actually, in truth, there wasn't really a battle for pole anyway. Throughout qualifying, Max Verstappen looked untouchable, and in the end, the Red Bull driver eased to pole by more than 0.3 seconds from Ferrari Charles Leclerc. Take Verstappen out of the equation, and it was incredibly close at the front, with just 0.5 seconds covering Leclerc in second, Red Bull's Sergio Perez in third, and Aston Martin's Fernando Alonso in fourth. The McLarens of Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris were almost 0.3 further back in fifth and sixth, ahead of the two Mercedes. The Q3 error meant George Russell was only fractionally faster than Lewis Hamilton, having carried much larger margins over his teammate up to that point. The top 10 was completed by Yuki Tsunoda's RB and the other Aston Martin of Lance Stroll. At the other end of the grid, Alpine weren't consigned to the back row of the grid this time. That rather dubious honour went to Williams's Logan Sargeant and Sauber's Zhou Guan Yu, although more on that later.
The Race F1 Briefing.
So it's two poles out of two for Verstappen in 2024, and a first Jeddah pole. Afterwards, Max said he'd had fun tackling the Saudi circuit's high-speed layout, and that his Red Bull was great to drive, which doesn't bode well for those looking to beat him in the Grand Prix. But the man everyone wanted to hear from was Ollie Bearman, who teammate Charles Leclerc said had done an incredible job. Ever the racing driver, the 18-year-old was slightly less enthusiastic about his own performance, saying he felt disappointed that he hadn't made it through to Q3, given the car's inherent pace. But he did admit that when he looks back in a couple of days, he'll be proud of what he was able to do. The British driver added that his primary goal had been to do as many laps as possible in Q1, in a bid to make up for the lack of running, especially at night. But given the completely out-of-the-blue nature of his F1 debut after Carlos Sainz's appendicitis diagnosis, and the enormous pressure of it happening in a Ferrari, with just one practice session before going into qualifying, Bearman had absolutely nothing to kick himself for. As our own Scott Mitchell-Marm wrote, Ollie did not look out of place. He was never ragged, and his pace or potential didn't ever seem to be the issue. He didn't seem to be overawed either, proving about as up to the task as any driver could. As for Bearman's hopes for the race, they're simple, saying, get to the end, avoid any carnage, and build up some experience for myself, and hopefully bring back some points at the end. We'll take a brief pause for a moment to give our regular shout out to GridRival. GridRival is the original app for fantasy motorsports leagues and is the only platform built by race fans for race fans. Throughout the 2024 F1 season, The Race is partnering with GridRival to bring you our very own fantasy league with a prize pot of $5,000 up for grabs and numerous other prizes to be won along the way at individual races. It's free to join and free to play, and this weekend we're giving away a copy of the soon-to-be-released F1 24 video game to the top point scorer in Jeddah. It's too late for you to sign up to win that now, but we'll have further prizes at future races, so it's still well worth entering your team today. It's super easy to do. Just sign up using the link in the episode description, and good luck. Once again, Red Bull and Max Verstappen head into the Grand Prix as overwhelming favourites, but will they have it all their own way? After splitting the Red Bulls to secure his seventh straight front row start, Charles Leclerc said he was hoping for a good surprise in the race and to be able to challenge for the win. Fernando Alonso was all smiles after the session too, saying that he was super happy with his second row start, especially as he knew that Aston Martin was the third fastest team in Bahrain. Whilst he admitted the car wasn't as strong in race pace last weekend, he confirmed the team have made some changes to try to address that for the Grand Prix on Saturday. And what about the McLarens? Well, Alonso was overheard joking with Norris in the TV pen that the orange cars were so slow on the straights that they wouldn't be able to overtake him. Norris backed up that claim, joking that he'd have to jump the start to gain an advantage. He also noted, though, that last weekend they were outqualified by Alonso's Aston too, but they were able to get him in the race. But Lando isn't as confident here. Oscar Piastri also said the pace in quali was all the car had, and that he doesn't expect to be able to fight the Ferraris or Red Bulls, maybe not even Fernando, but seems to think Mercedes will be their main competitor. Meanwhile, at the Silver Arrows, George Russell expressed himself eager to make up for a mistake in qualifying that he felt cost him a few grid slots, banking on the W15's straight line speed to help him make up some places. Lewis Hamilton cut a much more despondent figure, however, saying he was still struggling with the car bouncing through Jeddah's fast corners, which sapped his confidence. As a result, he's not so optimistic about his race chances. One driver who played no significant part in F1 qualifying was Zhou Guanyu, who suffered a heavy crash in final practice. With just under 20 minutes of FP3 remaining, the Chinese driver lost control of his Sauber through the high-speed turn 7-8 section, with his car rotating before slamming sideways into the barriers. That caused an immediate red flag and significant damage to Zhou's C44, damage that proved too great for Sauber to repair in time for the 24-year-old to complete a flying effort in qualifying, even if he was able to give his car a quick pre-race shakedown in the dying moments of Q1. Having been an impressive, if unlucky, P11 in the season opener in Bahrain, Joe will be hoping for another solid outing in Jeddah, and no further encounters with the barriers. More Sauber-related news now, and in a move that will affect the team significantly in the future, Audi has taken the major decision to take over the Sauber entity ahead of its Works Formula One team debut in 2026. The German automotive manufacturer had originally agreed to buy 75% of Sauber, with existing owner Finn Rousing retaining 25% of the company. As the racer Scott Mitchell-Marm explains, Audi's plan was to scale up its involvement in the race team based in Switzerland, while simultaneously working intensively on its first ever F1 engine in Germany. However, Sauber CEO Andreas Seidel, the de facto leader of the Works project, has been pushing for some time to get Audi to do more, knowing that time is of the essence to get a team at a suitable level of performance for 2026. It should allow Audi to take full advantage of the increased capital expenditure limits it has within the cost cap, while another break comes in the form of a currency adjustment for Switzerland to account for higher wages there. In addition, Scott writes that Audi now has committed to a specific upper management structure for its project, with Seidel as CEO, the most senior day-to-day figure, and Oliver Hoffmann leaving the Audi board to take overall responsibility of the F1 program. And finally, whilst it all looks fantastic for Red Bull on track, the team faced a fresh crisis on Friday evening with a dispute involving Helmut Marko that Max Verstappen hints could have repercussions for his own future. As Scott Mitchell-Marm and Ed Straw report, the long-serving special advisor wields massive influence on Red Bull Racing. He's close to the Verstappens and historically to the Austrian side of Red Bull. Although since company co-founder Dietrich Mateschitz's death in late 2022, there has been a constant belief that Marko has a strained relationship with the new leadership he is forced to report to. Red Bull's F1 teams now fall under the remit of Red Bull executive Oliver Mintzlaff, who Marko is due to meet with in Saudi Arabia this weekend. As it emerges, Marko is being probed by Red Bull GmbH in relation to leaked information, which could be separate from the anonymous sharing of alleged evidence from the investigation into Horner. Exactly what Red Bull's parent company is concerned by is unclear, but it is believed to relate to comments Marko has made in private to certain parties, including the media. Despite his status in the organisation, Marko is not considered by Red Bull to be an official spokesperson. In the FIA press conference, after scoring pole, Verstappen was asked about Marco's comments and the prospect of it being Marco's final race. Max strongly indicated that he would consider his own future at Red Bull if Marko were to leave against his will. Verstappen reiterated multiple times in a lengthy answer that his decision-making would be connected to Marco's fate, saying clearly that it's important he stays part of the team, also for me. Well, that's it for what turned out to be a very busy news day. If you'd like to dive deeper into any of these stories, head to our website where our team has written tons of excellent analysis. A big thank you to you too if you've left a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's been great to know that these episodes have been adding real value to your F1 weekends. Thank you so much for your company today. I'm James Baldwin and this has been The Race F1 Briefing presented by GridRival.
The Athletic.